good, and appreciate them having us to be out here. I appreciate Joseph and his wife, Thea. We had dinner. The guy can eat. And he was kept eating off my plate. And I said, do you want some? And he said, no, that's fine. Go ahead. And just kept on eating my plate. I said, okay, this is called sharing, huh? But anyways, I'm glad to be here. I wasn't planning to share anything about my life. I wanted to get right into the book of Jonah because it's a great, great chapter. I don't know if we have any runners from here, but Jonah was a runner. And he ran from God. And I think a lot of us could relate, like a Jonah. Sometimes God allows us to be put in a situation that we don't like. And we have a tendency to want to run. Maybe like right now, you want to run out of this church. I don't want to hear Jonah. But I really believe that God is going to minister to your heart right where you're at. And what better way to close the evening but partaking of the elements tonight and allowing God to examine our hearts in our lives that he may speak to us. But let me just share not a couple lessons. My brother and I were arrested for one of the most felonies that was ever committed in the state of California. I didn't wake up one morning and says, you know, Lord, I want to be one of the notorious criminals in the world. That wasn't my dream. And my dream wasn't to be a Christian either. I wanted to be an athlete, and that was my dream, and that was my hope. And I thought that's where I was headed to in 76 when I was named All-American and National, and I thought I was on top of the world. And yet when I captured the national title and was named All-American and yet to represent the U.S. in the 1980 Games, my dreams, we never went there. I never got there. But my dreams had fallen short. And I dislocated my shoulder, tore all my ligaments. My wrestling career was gone. I ended up getting involved in drugs and hanging around with my brother, who was a criminal. And before you know it, we were arrested for all these crimes. Highway 99, which is major highway, like what you have on I-10, was shut down. This is back in the day before they had car chases. You guys have car chases out here? Okay. Well, you see the news, and you see L.A. In those car chases. Well, back in the day, that's what it was. We had all these unmarked, marked vehicles. It was like a mile long of all these police officers, seven different law enforcement agencies involved in our capture, pulled us over and lined up hooking us up and going from one county. And it came down that they had seven murder charges on me. And it was like, wait a minute, no one died. But all of a sudden, all these crimes started to add up. And L.A. Times did an article, the one-time All-American national wrestler, is now facing criminal charges at the Men's Central Jail. And I'm thinking, here I was on top of the world, loved by all the U.S., yet to represent the 1980 World Games. And at that time, our president was Carter. He boycotted. First time a U.S. president ever boycotted an Olympic game. And, you know, and then again, I dislocated, so it really didn't matter. But I ended up going to prison and trying to take out the state witness that was testifying against my brother. So long story short, I ended up going to prison. People that watched me in Worldwide Sports or read about me in Sports Illustrated wanted to take their pop shots. Wanted to see if you're really as bad as you claim. Now it's probably hard to see if I don't look like a wrestler. You know, I mean, things change over the course of one's life. And so I did a lot of fighting in prison. I was stabbed twice in prison, once in the neck and once in the back. But the Bible's very clear. If you're going to play with fire, there's a price to pay. And so I got involved in all that madness. But it was one day a group came out, was preaching the gospel, and I didn't want to hear somebody talk about Jesus. I didn't want it, but I knew I needed something, and that's where I ended up coming to know the Lord. And ever since then, I was saved. And God had miraculously did great and powerful things and used me, and I was just like, wow, I didn't know. I mean, to me, I just figured that God, whatever you're going to do, do it, And I enjoyed what God had allowed me to be put in. Worked in the sheriff's department for 20 years. An ex-convict being paid by the largest law enforcement agency. I mean, how many ex-convicts can drive a police car? I had my own police car. I had two deputies, four secretaries. And it's like, it's unbelievable. But yet, how God is able. You know, that's when you know it becomes a God thing. And God does these things that just blows people's minds away. And so it's great. But let me introduce my gang from East LA. We have two of the kids that are terrorizing your kids right now. They're in the nursery. They're named Adam and Hannah. And they're just tearing it up right now. No, I'm only joking. Your kids are safe. I know. But my wife's back there. I don't know what she's doing. But there she is. She's waving. She's back there. And there's Gloria. Gloria runs our women's home called the House of Esther. And she's in charge of about 10 ladies. You tell me a lot of drama there. And getting their lives together, getting situated. But she runs our program. God did a marvelous work in and through her life and got back all of her kids and yet used her mighty to now influence other ladies. And then her mother, Maria, she's like the sergeant of arms in the woman's home. She enforces whatever Gloria wants done. And so it's really neat. And then we have some folks that drove out to Las Cruces there, and they didn't want to come here. I don't know why. They thought it was Soak City, and I said, no, come on. And so anyways, but they're over there. They wanted to sleep. We're just the diehards that don't care to sleep. We're getting older in age, so we said we don't need sleep. But anyways, we're here. So if you will, please join me and open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. This is just a great book. This is really called Jonah's Prayer. He's running from God, and yet now he's running to God. You know, some of us could relate. You know, we become knuckleheads, and God has to wake us up, and he puts us in uncomfortable situations. And like if you're married, right? You know, he puts us in uncomfortable situations, you know. No, but he puts us in an area where he grabs our attention, and he wakes us up. And that's what he did in Jonah's life. Jonah just refused. He hardens his heart. Not until his back is up against the wall that he starts to realize, all right, Lord, what do you have for me? What is your purpose? What is your plan? But that's like many of us. We fought God all the way to the very end, and then we say, all right, God, what do you want? Well, this is what happened to Jonah. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would minister to all of our hearts. I pray you would minister to our lives. I pray that you would use this chapter to deal with us in areas that needs to be dealt with. And areas that, Father, that we may encounter in our lives where we find ourselves not wanting to listen, not wanting to follow. That, Lord, that we will not be a Jonah and run, but rather engage into what you have for us. So speak to all of our hearts, speak to our lives, that you may minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. What a way to be in an area, you're in this fish's belly, and God is starting to get his attention. Now, Jonah, all right, Lord, what is it you want me to do? But it wasn't so easy for Jonah to do that. Because as we remember in chapter 1, and Jonah, as God told Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a heathen city, like East LA or something. Just one of those cities he just went. And Jonah knew that if he went there to preach the gospel about repentance, that these people were going to get saved. Now, you have people, maybe your neighbors or people you know that if you talk to them about Jesus, they'll probably get saved. So you're not going to talk to them. Because why? You don't want them to get saved because they're angry. They cut your grass when they shouldn't have cut your grass. Or they ding your car with a ball. So you're mad at them and you're not going to preach the gospel to them. Well, God says, no, you know what? Forgive them. Sometimes we become a people very hard, very stubborn, that we don't want to pray for certain people. I remember, have you ever been through one of these times where you've heard Pastor Joe or maybe other pastors, and even my own pastor, and even I saw this out of the podium. God, get him. Get him, Lord. Get him good because you can do it better than me. You know, it's like, yeah. But then it's like, what is our heart doing? And I remember one time sitting in service and God really spoke. You know where that passage of scripture says, love your enemies, pray for those that persecute you. And it's like, that seemed like a really oxymoron portion of scripture. What do you mean, love your, how could you love someone you don't like? and especially to pray for someone that just bothers you the whole time. And I remember God right there, and I heard a pastor says, "Lord, get him." And I'm thinking, Lord, is that the heart you really want me to have? Because are you allowing me, my heart to be very bitter in heart? And one thing that God showed me, even through that passage, because for a long time, I struggled with those two areas of that passage. Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And right there, God spoke to me, "Mark, you need to deal with your heart." And I had to say, "Lord, be merciful to them as you have been to me." Because you know what? I was been at other people's end of their prayers. Lord, get them. If God answered their prayers, I probably would not be here today. And so I had to find myself that, Lord, when I see people that has really troubled my spirit, I have to say, Lord, be merciful to them. As much as inside me says, "Oh, Lord, get them." No, Lord, be merciful to them. Just as you've been merciful to me. Now, Jonah, he didn't want to be merciful to Nineveh. He didn't want to go there and tell them, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Because that was the message, that was the prophecy, that was the proclamation that Jonah was given by the Lord to go to Nineveh and preach and tell them repentance. He refused. Yet, Jonah went down into Joppa and he took a cruise line to Tarshish. He got on a cruise. He says, "Forget this, I'm out of here." And so he gets on this freight boat and he takes off. You know, just like when you want to run from responsibility, forget it. I'm not going to pay no taxes. I'm not going to pay no bills. I'm out of here. Jonah, same concept. I'm out of here. Gets on it, has no care. And what happened? God followed him on that cruise. And man, everybody in that cruise had a terrible time. The waves, the storm, and the master, the captain that ship came up and found what? Jonah asleep. What is it? He tells everybody, each and every man, pray unto your own God. That's what's wrong with our society today. Whatever God will answer, that's the God we'll follow. No, not whatever. There's only one God. And, you know, my wife and I, we had just recently got back from Germany and Austria. And I was teaching and there was a mixed multitude of various cultures and nationalities. And I remember telling them, I said, "You know what? We have all this culture and nationalities and we have all these traditions of things." I said, "But you know, and the customs." I said, "We need to put all that aside. There's only one custom. One God, one Lord. And that's it. It's not a, well, this is my culture and this is my nationality." You know what? When we become Christian, everything else is moved aside. It becomes whatever you want me to be, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And so here, Jonah, he takes off. And he wakes up and he tells us, "Hey, pray to your God." And everybody says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm a Hebrew. What did you do?" And they knew something was wrong. Something troubled this young man. He says, "I'm running from God. What can we do?" He says, "Just take me. Just throw me overboard." Now, Jonah didn't think they were going to do that. You know, he thought they were going to be merciful to him. "No, we can't do that." No, what did they do? They grabbed Jonah and they chucked him over the boat. And I'm imagining, you know, that it blew his mind. And there he goes. And then what blows his mind even worse, here comes a fish. Opens its mouth. Now, this is the first water slide that was ever invented. He slid down the whale's tongue. You know, he had something going on. Just, now that would get anybody. You see this whale, all of a sudden you're over in the ocean, and all of a sudden this whale just pops out. Now, what's interesting, in 1939, off Cape Cod, off of Maine there, they got a whale, 100 feet. Now, they gutted this whale. And they said his mouth span was, I forgot the width of his mouth span, but it was very wide. But there were 7 compartments in this whale. And the one compartment of this whale was 7 feet high, 7 feet wide, and 7 feet deep. This is interesting. There's no doubt a man could easily be in a compartment just as that. And so it was interesting, the article, and I remember I was talking to Pastor Joseph that I was teaching this particular passage on a cruise ship. And I was telling him that if you guys didn't get right, that I was going to throw them off the boat and pray that a fish swallows them up. But in this particular passage, it says, I was sharing about that, and I had the clip of the article that talked about this whale and gave all the dimensions of this particular whale. Now listen to this, that here, in verse 17 of chapter 1 starts off this. It says, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, just as so was the Son of Man in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, can you imagine Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights and living through that, not knowing when he was going to be chucked out of that belly, but living there for 3 days, three nights in darkness, smelly, stinky stuff, watching license plates go through, whatever it may be, and just being there. Obviously, he got God's attention. And God got his attention. Because why in chapter 2, verse 1, he says this, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. He says, all right, Lord, you've got my undivided attention. It's amazing how sometimes God has to use circumstances and situations to get our attention. And he said, I cried by reasons of my afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cry I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, he didn't blame anybody else for his situation or circumstance. He says, I brought this upon myself. You know, sometimes we like to blame God when things go wrong in our lives. Things don't work out as they ought to. Right away, we just says, you know how people used to say, oh, the devil made me do it. Who was great for that? Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. No, you did it yourself. Don't give him any more credit than what he deserves. You did it. And a lot of times we do things to ourselves, and here Jonah takes full responsibility. He realized, he cries out by reason of his own selfishness, his own hardness of his heart. And he says, you know, Lord, all right, you've got my attention. And he says, the Lord heard my prayer. Because why? We're going to see the end results in chapter 2. What God did for Jonah and how God used this. And he said this in verse 3, for thou cast me into the deep sea of the midst of the deep sea, and the flood compassed me about, and the billows of thy waves over me. Now, I remember when I was in prison, I grew up with hymn notes. I love hymn notes. I can't sing, but I love hymn notes. They just, to me, they were very heartfelt. And when I came to Calvary Chapel, they sung all these worldly songs. No. They sung these Christian songs that were good. And I was just like, where's the hymns? And now I've been saved for a while. I went out to Calvary Chapel, Downey, and I've been there since 1983. So I've been there. So I grew up, and I love our worship song. But I to me, hymn those words. And there was this one song, and I didn't know it was a Jonah song or hymnal. But it was, I remember the hymn book. And it was always on, and I knew the page number. It was page 202 in the hymnal. Now, there's tons of different hymnals. And this was page 202 of the Presbyterian hymn books. Because my chaplain was a retired colonel, and he was a Presbyterian. So it was a Presbyterian hymnal book, so it was in 202. And it was called Love Lifted Me. Anybody here familiar with those hymnals? Okay, some of you are saved. And it was 202, and it says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, verily deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my billow cry, from the waters lifted me, now save am I. Where's you guys? Come on, did I lose you? But anyways, that was my song. Man, I love that song. I just like the way that sounded, it carried. It was something that I could almost sing with it. It just had those weird notes, and that it didn't matter if you were a terrible singer or not, you fit right in. And so here it was to me, and I said, that's a Jonah song. And when I did this, I said, hey, the willows, that's talking about Jonah. And so all this had come back to life and really was ministering to me. And it says here, God allowed him to be cast in the sea. And sometimes maybe some of your life, you feel like you're in a sea and you're drowning. And God is dealing with your heart and he's dealing with your life. And you're out there, you're trying to grasp for air. And you have, I don't know if you've ever been in water and you feel like you're going to drown. And someone says, stand up. And you go, oh. And you realize, I do. But the reality is that, you know, you're gasping, you're trying to get because you think you're drowning. Well, sometimes in our lives, we feel that we're drowning. And God's got you in a situation, he's trying to get your undivided attention. And he said, everything is over. It's like when your world starts to cave in. And it's like, I don't know what to do. And you're thinking, Lord, and it's amazing sometimes when we're really at the ends of ourselves, then we come to church. And all of a sudden, you're calling the prayer chain every 15 minutes. Man, you're at every prayer group, every Bible study. You can't get enough of it. And everybody you see, now you made your name and your phone number. Give it to everybody. Pray for me. Call me. Pray for me. You know? Because why? Because you have a need, and you want that need to be met. Because why? Because God got your undivided attention. So, as he goes on in verse 4, he says, then said I am cast out of thy sight, and yet I'll look again towards thy holy temple. Towards the northern part of where he knew were his home and the foundation of his faith. Where he knew he had drifted away. He says, Lord, I have turned my back. I've walked away from you. I am cast out of thy sight, not because of your choosing, because of my choosing. But I will look again to the northern part, to the place where I knew you. See, sometimes we drift away from the Lord because we're running from whatever circumstances that you're in. You're getting yourself away and you're like, forget it. And we go clear across somewhere else. And all of a sudden you find yourself at another Calvary Chapel. And then all of a sudden he says, he sounds like Pastor Joseph. I'm trying to get away from him. And it's not Pastor Joseph. It's because God is dealing with your heart and he's dealing with your life and he wants your undivided attention. And he says, the waters, in verse 5, can pass me about, even to the soul, the depth closed around about me, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. It's amazing. Have you ever went out there in the ocean? You guys have oceans. You guys don't have oceans out here, huh? I don't know what you guys are missing. Just go to someone's swimming pool that looks green. But you get in there and something wraps around your leg and you're like, you don't know what it is, seaweed, you know? And it's like an animal, it just wraps on you. And you're trying to pull it out and you're thinking all kinds of weird things because you can't see it. And it feels weird. And he says, and it's wrapped all around him. It's amazing how sometimes that's what sin does in our lives. It just wraps around you. And it just holds you. And it's like you feel that you can't just break away from it. And he says, and I went down to the bottom of the mountain of the earth with its bars, and yet about me forever, and yet thou hast brought my life out from corruption, O Lord my God. Brought me to the bottom of the pit. You know, and that's what sin does for our life. It brings us to the bottoms of ourselves. And finally, you know, when sin is finished, it destroys your life, it tears you up, and it gets a hold of you. And the more you're in it, the deeper it becomes and the harder it is to get out. And here it's like Jonah just felt that he was in his element, that he was gone. He was out of it. The seaweed got a hold of him, just brought him. And yet those bars of iron were cut asunder because when he finally cried out to the Lord, God heard him. And see, that's what God wants to do of many of our lives. I don't know what's going on with many of you and your situation, but some of you here tonight may be hurting. Some of you may know the Lord and you may be embarrassed because no one knows your situation or circumstances, but God does. And maybe there's some areas that God wants to break loose in your life and give you a peace that passes all understanding. And maybe God has something set apart for you that he wants to speak to your life, to your heart, and he wants to minister to you. And maybe you just, no one ever knows about it, and you're like, hey, you know, God doesn't care what position of authority you hold, whether you're a worship leader, you're an elder in the church, you're an usher, you're a deacon, whatever it is, song guy, whatever it is, and working with God just wants you to understand something. That first of all, he loves you, and he cares about you, and he has a purpose, and he has a plan. And he wants to break asunder those areas that so easily entrap us, so easily brings us down, and not to be like a Jonah, where finally he has to create a whale and put in your life. And I'm not talking about your husband, you know, but he puts something in your life to what? Grab a hold of you to get your undivided attention. And then he says this, check this out. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and in thy holy temple. Finally, when you're done fighting, you finally give it, you got no more fight in you. You just like, you know, like many of us are proud, right? We're sometimes a very proud people. We're stubborn in all its ways, and well, we just fight to the end. Finally, when you just got no more fight in you, and everything in you has been drifted, has been taken from you, and you're like, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, I just don't understand what's happening to me. And God says, I just want it all. I just want your undivided attention. I want to be God in your life. I want to be the Lord in your life. And I want you to trust me. And I want you to rely on me. And here, Jonah says, my soul fainted within me. He had no more physical strength to fight anymore. He could not run anymore. He just dropped. And sometimes in our lives, we just come to the end of ourselves and we just drop. And sometimes we just drag ourselves here. And we just kind of like dropped in the chairs. And it's like, oh, this is what I need. People sometimes say, man, I'm just too tired. It's Wednesday. It's Thursday night. It's church. I'm just going to go home and just relax. I'll get next week. No. You know, you just need to get here. If I come here, I'll just fall asleep. Joe's voice just puts me to sleep. Well, you know, come here and go to sleep. That's okay. This is the best place to fall asleep. Well, I don't know. If I go, Joe's going to preach the word and he's going to brainwash me. Well, you're probably right, because that weird brain of yours needs to be washed. And it needs to be washed in God's word. Yeah, I don't know. If I go, then I'm going to have to pray. I don't want to pray. You'll be amazed at what prayer can do in your life. But the challenge and the exhortation is that you finally just get out from yourself and just trust the Lord. He would do some amazing thing that will blow your mind of just trusting him. Jonah realized that. Nineveh wasn't his responsibility. All he had to do was just tell people to repent. No, it probably was embarrassing or hard for him. He was supposed to tell all these people, repent. They're going to look at him and put a straitjacket on him. But that's, God said, don't worry about it. Just go and just deliver the word. And Jonah refused. He fought God all the way to the very end. And then finally, he just said, all right, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just get me out of here. And then, listen to this. Then that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying and vanity forsake their own. You know, it's like, get rid of it. Everything that may hold you. You know, every sin, every situation so easily beset you from your relationship, get rid of it. Destroy it. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He says, and Jonah says, look, I will do whatever. I will give back. In fact, I will give more back than ever before. I will hold to my vow. I will hold to my commitment. I will hold to my responsibility. And I will be true to thy word and carry on and have a thankful heart. You know, let me ask you this question tonight. Are you thankful? to what God has already provided in your life? Are you sitting there and yet you're not yet at that point of really being thankful? Maybe you've got some contentions within your own heart and your own spirit and you're fighting God. Or maybe you're not fighting God. You love God. We all know you love God. And maybe you know you love God. But there are some things that you're just still troubled about. And you're here because you know this is where you need to be. And that's good that you're here. But you're not completely content. You're just a miserable Christian. You're looking at it, don't smile at me, just I'm here. That's all. Don't ask me to do any more than what I'm to do. Now, I'll tell you something. Someone tried to witness to me. I remember this person. You know, bless his heart because he was so diligent to always want to evangelize to me. And he would always look, he would always come up and he would look so miserable. And he would never have the eye contact. He would always look down and like he couldn't really understand what he was saying. What is it you're saying? You want to know the Lord? I said, look up at me and talk to me. You want to know the Lord? Hold on. You telling me you want to give me what you have? Yeah. I don't want it. Because if that's what a Christian is, I don't want nothing to do with it. I've got enough miseries of my own. I don't need any more. But the thing was, he was so diligent. He wanted to share. But he didn't have no joy. He had no peace. It looked like somebody just hit him upside the head with a 2x4. Or he was in a gang fight in East L.A. But the reality was, is that he had no joy. And it's like, wait a minute. If we're going to tell someone about good news, and we're going to tell them that Jesus loved them. Now, the person that told me, he really got me, he says, look, if you give Jesus your life, and you give him your whole heart, you'll never have any problems for the rest of your life. They lied to me. I've had more problems than you could ever imagine. I've gone through more pain than you could ever experience. I said, where is all this? But you know what? God had removed the scales from my eyes, and I've seen that I've already been going through that and didn't realize it. But God has carried me through these times and situations and circumstances. I'm just more aware of these things. I'm kept by the promise of His Word that He will never leave me, nor will He ever forsake me. He will be with me through the tough times as well as through the good times. That He is my provider. He is my guy that takes care of me. He is my Father. He is my mentor. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is the Lord of my life. He is my protector. And so here, a heart of thanksgiving. God, I'm thankful for even the things that I'm not even aware of that You have provided. You know, and God does so many things for so many of us. As a Heavenly Father always do. You know, like many of you have been parents. And you raise your kids. And you think about when your kids were 2 months, 3 months. They couldn't talk. Hey, pops, you know the diaper needs changing? No, you kind of know. Whoa, that come out of you? I just say, you check the refrigerator. I think I'm low on milk. But as a parent, you naturally look for those things and you take care of it because you know the child needs it, just like our Heavenly Father. Many times He knows our needs way before we even ask. But we're still to ask. And we're still to be thankful, Father, for providing the things that You have provided. Even of these things that I weren't even aware of that You have given freely. Thank You. And then the last part here, verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish. Now check this out. He tells the fish, I want you to cough up Jonah. So the fish, what do the fish do? It vomit out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, think about this. Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish. That's a lot of acid. His hair was cinched. His eyebrows were gone. He was a true albino. When the fish coughed him up, he had slime everywhere. He wasn't one that you looked upon, whoa, great guy. You're ugly. Go back into the fish. No. And then where did he cough him up? Right on the shores of Nineveh. Jonah had a one-way ticket to Nineveh. Whether he liked it or not, God was sending him to Nineveh. Sometimes God puts us in an area where we get coughed up and we may not be a pretty picture. Because this world has beat us up in so many ways. But you know what? God has a purpose and God has a plan. And that is to use you. Now Jonah, he went out. Says in chapter 3, a revival took place. Now it lasted for a little bit. But he carried out the commission which was given to him. And maybe tonight, I don't know where, a lot of you very well may be, have a relationship with the Lord. But there's some of you that tonight, you're just carrying a heavy load. And God just wants to minister to you. And tonight we're taking of the elements. This is the time, you know, it's not just, oh, worship, great. No, when we think of communion, what we're thinking of what the Lord did for us. How he laid his life down for you and I. That we would have it and have it more abundantly. As the worship team comes forward, I want to talk to you a little bit. As they're coming, making their way up, I want to ask you a couple of questions here. I don't know where you are spiritually. I'm sure you love the Lord. But my challenge to you this evening is this. If there's something that's hanging on, that you really need to get rid of. You need to just lay it out. I said, Lord, as I take of the element tonight, I just need you to get my undivided attention here, and I need to get focused. I don't really need to know. I'm not into numbers. I'm not into how many hands this, whether you're... Pastor Joseph doesn't need to know. It's good that you let him know that he keeps accountable, but you know what really needs to know is the Lord, and that you're honest between you and God. That's what matters. And tonight we can do that. As you start to examine your own heart, and as you start to look at yourself where you are spiritually, this is a time between you and the Lord and nobody else. This is a time that, you know, you can say, hey, you know what? This is what I did. That's great. But as they worship, what I'd like you to do, take of the elements, take of the cup, go back to your seat. And then when we're all been served together, then we're going to partake together as a family. And in that time when worship is taking place, you yourself just pray. Whatever going on in your heart, whatever burdening you, whatever heavy upon you, you yourself, just give it over to the Lord. Just let the Lord have it. And then we'll partake and we'll go home and eat some pumpkin pie with cream. Or you guys don't do whipped cream. Maybe vanilla ice cream. No, but anyways, let's worship.